And someone asked how to make the transference of intelligence permanent. Technically, it means how to make the transference of the internal intelligence of the person into the internal knower permanent. What is supposed to become permanent is that fundamental transference. Where the portion of the internal intelligence of the person becomes one with the internal knower. And this is the very crucial element in the actual awakening of the internal knower. There's no how. You just do it. It's not a practice. It is an awakening, becoming real. Integrating. The individualized universal intelligence which entered our existence with our personal intelligence. The internal knower has to be personalized. His universal aspect has to be infused with our personal intelligence, or else it cannot become a center of our spiritual activities. As far as the dynamic transference of intelligence is concerned, it's not a matter of stabilization, because it is not the dynamic. Personal intelligence is by nature intermittent. So what you need to stabilize, in a manner of speaking, is that the moment it is active. It immediately flows through the internal knower. into pure attention. So that pure attention is experienced as a personal activity of the internal knower. And again, it's not really a practice. The transference is that that stabilization of that dynamic transference of intelligence is not a matter of practice, it is a matter of awakening. If that personal intelligence is not transferred into pure attention, you basically don't know what you are doing. And it is not a real pure attention either. But continuing our retreat, the matter that I still did not address is awakening of the human me. I already referred to the fact that the person alone is rather primitive, mechanical, and shallow. Which is not in contradiction to what I said before in the last talk, that its essence is divine. But you simply cannot access this essence unless you lay that the foundation of the soul within yourself. Human me is the soul of the person. And it is energetically located behind the person. Not to confuse it with the watcher, who is also behind the person. The human me is behind the watcher and the person. So the proper realization of the person is not just to make the person conscious, is to experience the person from the human me. It is a paradox that we are humans, all humans, and yet most people don't have a human me. So are they really humans? I'm not entirely sure. what they are. Human me is called human me because we experience it within our human existence, but there's something universal in that pure subjectivity of the human me. Beyond our human race. It is the divine that dwells at the base of the personal center of intelligence, which is the person. I spoke about the fact that awakening of the heart is crucial for the transformation of the person, making it the person more soulful. But so is the human me, even more so. You need to experience the person from the human me for the person to be real. Because even if the person is conscious, it still does not have a soul without the presence of the human me. The human me is has that etheric or angelic identity, which is not easy to grasp. It is beautiful and there's no an actual practice with the human me. You don't have to stabilize it. You don't have to embody it. You just need to be your human me. The human me can be experienced at the relatively early stages of practice as that subtle presence behind the person. That is giving the person a soul. When you look at the world through the person, but from the human me, that is love. However, a deeper realization of the human me requires the presence of the fundamental me. When the weight of identity is in the fundamental me, based on the what we call the principle of buoyancy, recognition rises into a human me. It is still done through pure attention, but the way pure attention is rising into the recognition of the human me is so subtle, so effortless. That is the beauty of realizing the human me, that it is effortless. If you use any effort trying to capture the human me, you are already doing it wrong. The properly realized human me where the recognition or pure recognition is rising into illumination of the human me, we call an angelic me. Angelic me, or the human me, is the base subjectivity for the human knower. So the first step is to realize the human me. Then learning how to experience the person from the human me, as if the human me was looking through the eyes of the person into the world. And it also affects the seer. That's why we call the seer unified with the human me, angelic seer. But in order to realize the human knower, the person has to merge with the human me, which is the next step. So we are not just experiencing the person from the human me. You are experiencing the person from within the human me. And there is a specific practice to make it happen. And for that you need to have pure consciousness present. So there's enough horizontal pull where we shift weight of identity into the human me, and then the person self-absorbs in himself, and is due to that shift of the weight of identity into the human me, he's being pulled inside the human me, which energetically also causes a slight relocation in the position of the person, it moves more back horizontally. After the person enters the essential channel, we are not so much referring to the human me, because the ideally complete integration between the person and the human me, or the angelic me, has taken place. And we are not speaking about the human knower. Rather, we emphasize the aspect of the human knower, which is the center of intelligence, which is the person. But the fact is that prior to entering the essential channel, the person has to be transformed by being merged with the human me, because only then the person has a soul. Begins to deserve. To enter the dimension of the inner knower. So that is one subject. Another subject I wanted to address is to complete that talk about the evolution of the inner knower. And very important, what effect it has on the transformation of the way our intelligence begins to operate. When the person, the inner person, which is the innermost person and the internal person, merges with the internal knower, with the inner knower, there is a big gap created, like a vacuum between the primordial person and the etheric person, which is the center of the subconscious mind, the conscious, etherically conscious center of the subconscious mind. Because you cannot just be fully conscious in the subconscious mind, because it would stop being subconscious. And it will be it would lose its capacity for spontaneity. The subconscious mind is not supposed to be too conscious, it's supposed to be conscious enough. Somewhere between conscious and subconscious. We used to use this term conscious, subconscious, me, as the center of the subconscious mind. Anyway, as a primordial person is realized, there's a too much gap between primordial person and the etheric person, which prevents us from being able to communicate with the subconscious mind. Because part of the conscious thinking, as far as the external intelligence is concerned, is a communication with the subconscious mind, a dialogue with the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind provides information, the person is processing this information, and based on his wisdom and discrimination, is giving an appropriate feedback. And the subconscious mind responds based on that feedback. So that is that communication, the dialogue in the mind. Because the external person has merged with the subconscious me, so it cannot have a dialogue with the subconscious me. They become one entity. That's why a new center of intelligence is arising as an extension of the primordial person. And we call that new extension, or the new center, angelic person. And it assumes the same location as where previously the inner person was located, or the conscious me was located initially. So the angelic person takes the role of conscious communication with the etheric person, the new center of the subconscious mind. Now, what happens to the internal intelligence of the person? That internal sub-mental intelligence of the person. Well, it is being still present and experienced from the primordial person. But the experience of it is just so much deeper than before. And it is much more unified with the overall field of our pure subjectivity. So you don't really feel like, or that intelligence is attached to the person and is relating from that place to all the other centers of our pure subjectivity. It does flow from the person, in this case from the primordial person, but it is unrestricted, it is expanding into the whole of our being. Even though it remains rooted in the inner knower, that transformed internal intelligence of the person I would call innermost or inmost intelligence. And it too has the capacity for the dynamic transference of intelligence into conscious, directed recognition of any center of the soul. Here, just the distinction of this dichotomy between fundamental transference and dynamic transference is much more transparent. It still exists, but it is just much more subtle. Of course, one of the most important functions of that innermost intelligence is to allow us to have a conscious relationship with the base subjectivity of the inner knower, which is the primordial me, and to continue the process of immanent surrender, diving through the primordial me into the primordial I am, who is the Godhead, who is the very heart, the very core of the Creator. He is the one who even created the inner dimension, including the Absolute, Universal I Am, Universal Intelligence. He is the center of it all, and He is our Creator. He is the Beloved. Without the innermost intelligence, we would experience the inner knowledge just in a static manner. There will be just that our experience of ourselves will be just based on the fundamental transference of intelligence, the dynamic transference would be absent. We would be fundamentally in a state of non-doing. And while it is beautiful, our spiritual journey would halt. And our spiritual journey is the very reason for our existence. We are eternally evolving, growing into the mystery of creation and the Creator, into the future. We can experience the state of non-doing on many different levels based on our spiritual development. But imagine that you are experiencing non-doing while being one with the primordial I Am. In fact, we call such a state of absorption in the primordial I Am, where all the relative functions of intelligence stop, unqualified primordial samadhi. But the qualified primordial samadhi allows the innermost intelligence still to operate. And the external intelligence to operate. After all, we live in the world. But the innermost intelligence allows the primordial person to be in conscious relationship with the primordial I Am. And to continue the process of diving deeper into his domain. Because there are many mysteries there to discover. And the discovery is love. There's a state of love, and there's a dynamic love, where you are in relationship with the beloved. So that touch of duality between primordial person and primordial I Am allows to have an actual relationship with our Creator. And that relationship is pure joy. While reaching unity with the primordial I Am, we call state of singularity. That is just one part of it. Another part of it, it is a state of fathomlessness, infinity. So we have the innermost intelligence, sub-mental. But that innermost intelligence to function, it needs to draw conceptual information, same as before, same as before, the internal intelligence from the internalized external intelligence. So it is receiving etherically conceptual information from the internalized external mind, in order to gain a deeper sense of orientation within that most hidden regions of self and absorption in the primordial I am. Intermittently. Because it can exist without that conceptual information, just feeling, being, loving, surrendering. Melting. Into the primordial I am. The innermost intelligence moves between the states of activity and non-activity. Sometimes it simply disappears. And then it arises again. How to distinguish the innermost intelligence from the intelligence that operates from the angelic person, which is also intermittent, because if the external intelligence is inactive, so is the angelic person. Is being deactivated because he does not have a constant identity. he is arising from the primordial person in order to meet the demands of the external intelligence. Otherwise, he disappears. It's hard to distinguish. First is the quality of thoughts, the quality of intelligence. Then it's a different location from which the angelic person operates. He is higher. Etheric person is very high, especially in the forehead. The innermost intelligence operates from within the primordial nowhere. It's experience at the very bottom of the forehead, and additionally from the place where it is absorbed into immanency. From that dark and yet translucent, illuminated cave of absorption in the primordial I am.